We worship you, Lord. Praise you. We thank you. We glorify your name. You are holy. You are worthy, Jesus. If I start crying, don't mind me now. It's been the norm lately for the last couple months. Hallelujah. You read throughout the Gospels. On many occasions, Jesus said that he had compassion on people. That wasn't a compassion on the spotter at the moment. The compassion that he had was in him at all times. I sat down for my ministry a few months ago. It had nothing to do with what I was going through physically. Nothing at all. I sat down because I didn't have the compassion that the Bible talked about for people. I didn't have it. Yeah, I could quote scripture. I could memorize scripture. I was a Facebook preacher. Too many of them right now. But I had no compassion for people. No compassion. And I didn't want to be like the normal Christian, the normal pastor. I told the Lord, if I'm going to be like that for the rest of my life, just take me home. Because my life, now I can say this in case there's any doubt where Satan likes to whisper. There was no adultery, nothing like that going on in my life. I'm not happy where I was at with God. I would read the Gospels and judge myself according to what I read. I said, wow, I'm far from that. So I sat down. I really feel the instruction of the Holy Ghost to sit down. And there were certain things that he asked me to do. And I did them. I decided I wanted to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. First and foremost, before anything. So I went to the books and the chapters and the verses that the Lord would have me to go. Something began to change in me. Compassion for people that I never knew existed. For all people. For the drug dealer. For the homosexual. For the lesbian. For the good, the bad, the gentle, the forward. For people from the streets. My mindset changed completely. I began to cry. One night I asked God to forgive me so many times I didn't have no more breath left in me. Had awe in my heart. I'm not going to go into that, but I judge myself continually, making sure there's nothing in me. I think I can say with all my heart, I don't think there's anybody in the world that I'm mad at anymore. I just, no strife in me anymore. I've committed to him who judges righteously, by whose stripes I was healed from strife. I've checked myself continually, and I can't find it anymore. There's been a remarkable turn in my body as far as my heart and certain things. My eyes are still being rebellious, but it's just a matter of time before I believe that place that God gave me until I believe that it's there. It's there. It's done. Because he sent his word and he healed my disease. And Jesus Christ bore my sickness and he carried my pains. That's passing. That's been done. I just got to go to that place. That's all. I just got to go to that place. That's all. That's all. Medication's been cut 60% already in half. Not that I'm anything, but he's everything. I'm just starting to touch that place. That place that Pastor Dave calls done. I'm going to go back with my wife's permission. I'm going to go back to the past a little bit. And bear with me before you pass judgment on what I say. You're going to see what point I'm going to with this. But I am very happy with what we're taught here. Had the things that happened to me the last 2 years happened 4 or 5 years ago, I wouldn't be here anymore. They would have completely dominated my senses. Thank God for the walk in the Spirit, the walk of power. Thank God. You can't tell by the empty chairs right now that we're on the right path. But I can tell you by what's happened within me. I judge it by that. I judge it by that. one visit to the doctor. One told me you got chronic kidney failure, phase 3, you're this close to dialysis. Basically, Mr. Bencourt, you're gonna die. Oh, thank you, love you too, sir. So not only are you gonna die, you're gonna die a painful death. Thank you, sir. Week after that, your heart's not functioning properly. You got kidney stones, gallbladder stones, and ulcers. I said, all in one visit. Wow, thank you, sir. What a week. What a week. I was supposed to be a goner. Well, I'm still here. Kidneys functioning properly. I can go almost 3 miles jogging now. Kidneys are functioning good. My pulse went down from like a continual 110 down to the low 80s, high 70s at times. Lost about 30 pounds. It's good on my grocery bill. But all glory to the risen Savior and his promises concerning me and you. All glory to him. All glory to him. But I can remember, it was like it was yesterday. I remember being intoxicated, going to work in the morning, so hungover, driving a big diesel truck, so hungover. Mad because I had to go to work. Hated God with all my heart. I just hated him. I hated him with a passion. I know I wasn't born again, but I was born again when I was young. So that once saved, always saved doctrine, that's not true, because I used to be saved when I was young. And then I walked away from God and I hated him with a passion. This particular day I was so hungover, I cussed him, I called him, you name it. Any cuss word you can think of, I called God that day. I said, you no good. And I went off at him. With a vengeance. With a vengeance I went off on God. I was so mad at the world. I hated myself. So hungover in the truck. I went to sleep in the woods with the truck. Supposed to be delivering diesel. But I was asleep in the woods. So hungover. Cussing God. Every name in the book. I said, if you no good. You name it. I said it. And there was malice in my heart. I meant it. I said, you're no good for nothing. I hate you. If you're true. If you exist, if you are God, you show me today. Not that he had to, but somebody was praying for me. I had a vine dresser. I said, you show me today. You show me. You show me today that you're real. So I got off the truck. I walked through a tank, filled it up with diesel. I said, you show me you no good. And I went off on him. You show me that you're real. Before I took a step up on my right leg, huge, gigantic rattlesnake was right there and completely went the other way. Completely went the other way. I said, okay, maybe. Okay, just maybe. That was that. I remember one night driving down the road, intoxicated, me and a friend of mine. We did something we were supposed to do to a gentleman. So he threw an axe at the truck that I was driving. The windshield where I was driving, the axe stuck in the windshield. It should have knocked my head off. I remember that night so clearly. Threw the axe right at my windshield. And for some reason, the axe just got stuck in the windshield. I remember it so clearly. I remember one night when me and my friends were at my house and we had a pile of cocaine on the table, enough to kill a horse. And we were there, we were tearing it up. And I had so much cocaine in my system that I said, yeah, hey guys, let's play Russian roulette. I had a .357 Colt Python, a huge gun, the one that Dirty Harry has on TV, a huge one. Said my wife, I said, go get some alcoholic beverages for us, we're out, dear. My wife went to the drive-thru and got us some alcoholic beverages. Some beer, man, some beer. We had so much cocaine in our systems, it wasn't even funny. We were numb. So I went and got my .357 Colt Python and I put a bullet in it, a real bullet, my friends, a real bullet. And this night's the one that did it for me. This night did it for me. And I put a bullet in the chamber. My friend went first, tearing up the cocaine. We didn't care. He went, nothing happened. Went on to the next round. We laughed. My next friend went, spun the barrel. Didn't go off. We laughed. It was my turn. I didn't care. I was numb, drunk, cocaine in my system. Put it to my head. Pull the trigger. Boom, it went off. Shaved all that back of my hair off. Shaved it all off. Went off. And I didn't try to move it. I believe this day because my grandmother was praying for me that an angel of God. I had it to my head, man. I didn't try to move it. But I believe an angel of God that day through the prayers of my grandmother. As I pulled that trigger, I believe an angel just pulled the gun back and shaved the back of my head and all my hair was missing. My sliding door, the window was shattered. I remember it perfectly. I remember it perfectly. The bullet was stuck there. I saw the bullet. My wife walks in with a case of beer for me. I remember it so clearly. I remember it so clearly. Yeah, Pastor Homer, yes, sir, absolutely. My wife looks at me with my, I don't know how old was the percent at that time, baby? Maybe 5 years old. And we were there. We were so numb to the cocaine we had in our system, all the beer we had drunk. Numb. My wife comes in. I remember the expression on her face and what she said. With a case of, she used to hate when I used to snort cocaine. She used to hate it. She used to get mad at me. She had my little five-year-old daughter with a case of beer in her hand. I still remember the words. I can see her facial expression when she told me that day. She said, what was I supposed to tell your daughter? That those were your brains on the floor. What was I supposed to tell her? Needless to say, I don't know how I used to make it home. Start Friday at 5 o'clock and continue all weekend long. I used to run to Miami to Liberty City and Overtown doing things I wasn't supposed to do in the middle of the night. Drunk, driving to Miami and driving back drunk. I don't know how I made it home. I do know because somebody was praying for me. Miserable, miserable. And then one morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, all this was going on in my life. So perverted. I was a pervert of all perverts. I knew one thing, party, get drunk, and be as intimate as I could with as many young ladies as I could. I asked my wife if I could say that. She said I could. I had a pile of, and this take and be edited. If it's not, it doesn't matter. I want the world to know the power of God. I want them to know what I used to do and what I do. Now I want the world to know that there is a God. Pornography galore. Stacks of it. I used to get my five-year-old daughter drunk. I used to put beer in her bottle. Have her drink beer and have her watch her fall around and laugh at her. Pornography galore. Bad music in my car. Steal from my dad his checking account. He used to wipe out his checking account, take money and do stuff I wasn't supposed to do. He doesn't know this. I hope he doesn't hear his tape. All this I want to show you today and explain to you the power of God the Father through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I didn't know God's word. I didn't know nothing about fasting, about praying in tongues. I didn't know nothing about his word, nothing. I knew absolutely nothing. I knew very little growing up in the church. I went to church. I knew I was born again in the Baptist Spanish mission. I knew that, but I didn't know the word. I knew nothing. Then I walked away from God, and then here I am. A week passed about blowing my head off. And I bowed my knees. Me and my wife slept in different rooms because I hated her and she hated me. I didn't care. She hated me. So what? I hate you too. 5 o'clock in the morning, over 20 years ago. That bullet got my attention, man. the convicting power of God through the Holy Ghost was all over me. I knew if I died, I would be in hell forever. I knew that. So then one morning at 5 o'clock in the morning, I bowed down on my bed, got on my knees. I remember it so clearly. And I said, Jesus Christ, you are the Son of God. I said, Jesus, you are God. Will you come into my heart and forgive me of my sins? I cried for 3 days. I had never experienced so much love or happiness in my life. I even went to my wife that same hour because I was so happy because I gave my life to Christ. I beat on her door. Wake up. What? I said, I just gave my life to Jesus. She said, good, get out. But a week after that day, she followed her husband and she gave her life to Christ. She was about to leave me, man. I could have lost her. I woke up that day so happy. I cried. I went and laid hands on people. I didn't even know nothing about. I went and laid hands on a homeless guy named Alabama. Went and laid hands on him to get the devil. I didn't know nothing, but I went and laid my hands on him. So all of a sudden, these passions that I used to have, I knew I couldn't drink anymore. But I didn't know the Bible. I didn't even go to church at that, but I knew I couldn't watch pornography anymore. I knew that I couldn't. Something in me told me I couldn't watch that anymore. Something told me I couldn't fornicate or commit adultery anymore. Something told me I couldn't put beer in my little daughter's bottle anymore. I couldn't do it anymore. Something told me that, but I didn't know the Bible. I didn't even go to church. Then what was it? Then what was it that took me from being a pervert, running town, being as intimate as I could with any woman I could see? What took me? In that day, in a matter of minutes, what took me from being a pervert, an adulterer, a fornicator, a thief, a drunkard, a druggard, if there's such a word, what took me from there to a place where I never touched another woman again but my wife? What took me there? What took me to the place of knowing that I could drink a case of beer a night to the place where I knew I couldn't drink anymore? What took me to the place where I watched pornography for hours every day? What took me to the place where I knew I couldn't watch it anymore? I didn't know the Bible. I didn't have a pastor. I didn't have a church. What took me there? What took me to the place where I had about 30 or 40 perverted CDs that I used to hear in my car, where I got up the next morning when I got saved. I went and took Snoop Dogg and all this music that I had, and I threw it in the trash. How did I know to do that? I didn't know the Bible. I was just born again a day before, and I knew that I couldn't do that. I knew I couldn't steal at work anymore. I knew that I could not do the things that I used to do. I stopped it immediately. I knew I could not. Where did you know it from? From within. Something was crying out within me. You can't do that anymore. You can't do that anymore. You can't do that anymore. I went to work the next day. I said, it's over. I was told you can't mix religion and business. I stopped it. Ever since that day, I never touched another woman. How? What happened? And if you have or haven't, this is not about that. Like Pastor Blanc said, you just get under the blood and you ask God to forgive you. That's all you do as a Christian. But how did I go from relationship after relationship, alcohol abuse, drug abuse, pornography? How did I go from there to this point where I knew I couldn't do it anymore? What happened? I didn't know the Bible. I didn't know nothing about 1 John. I didn't know nothing about Romans. I didn't know nothing, man. I didn't know nothing. What happened? What happened? Well, Romans tells us what happened in just one verse. And Paul writes to us. I think it's Romans 6, 19. Listen to what Paul said. Bear with me. I'm not going to keep you long tonight. He said, but God be thanked. Listen to what Paul says. But God be thanked that you were the servant of sin. God be thanked, Pablo. God be thanked, Barbara. God be thanked, Pastor Brown. God be thanked, Homer, that you were the servant of sin. Is that past tense? Past tense. God be thanked that you were the servant of sin. Homer, you were the servant of sin. When I used to do all those things that I listed to you, I was a servant of sin. I knew nothing else but sin because I had a sin nature inside of me. I was unrighteous. I was in a dark state. But God be thanked, Homer, that you were the servant of sin. I was the servant of sin. Well, then what happened, Paul? What changed it? But God be thanked, Homer, that you were the servant of sin. He said, but, Homer, you were the servant of sin. When you watched pornography, it didn't bother you because you had a sin nature. The spirit of the world was in you. You did not have a godly conscience. When you were drunk and snorting cocaine and smoking crack, it didn't bother you because you had the conscience of this world. You were unregenerate. You weren't born again. The life of God did not live in you. Therefore, you didn't know it was wrong because wrong lived in you. I had no godly conscience. He said, but God be thanked, Homer, that you were the servant of sin. I was the servant of sin. He said, but, Homer, you were the servant of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart. You were the servant of sin. You should do these things, Homer, because you were the servant of sin. But you have obeyed from the heart. That form of doctrine, that form of teaching that was delivered to you. Then he said, being then made free from sin. What did he say? You became what? A servant of righteousness. I was a servant of sin. When I sinned, it didn't faze me because I had sin living in my spirit. I had a dark spirit. My candle was not lit. But simple words like Jesus, you are the Son of God, was the doctrine that Romans said that I obeyed. I obeyed it. I heard the message that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. I said, Jesus, come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of my sins immediately, instantaneously. I went from being a slave to sin to a slave of righteousness with a godly conscience that lived inside of me that told me what was right and what was wrong. It was that conscience that I received when I said yes to Jesus that told me immediately the moment I got born again that I could no longer watch pornography, that I could no longer get drunk, smoke crack, snort cocaine. Something in a matter of seconds changed inside of my spirit. I used to be spiritually dead. Now I was spiritually alive. The spirit, the life of God that was in Christ came from Christ to my spirit. I became a son of the living God over 20 years ago. Not only did I become a son of God, but God became my father. If he was my father, then I was his child. Instantaneously, that moment when I said, God, Jesus, come into my heart, instantaneously I became a son of God and I was freed from the damnation and condemnation of this world. I now had a conscience where I could understand God, where I didn't have to do wrong anymore. Why? Because righteousness cried out from within my spirit. My friends, like Pastor Day said, I was born again. I was born from above. The life that was in God came in and dwelt my human spirit. I went from unrighteousness to righteousness, from darkness to light. I became a child of God with a few words that I uttered with my mouth and meant in my heart. I went from being a slave to sin to a slave of righteousness. Now I know what's right and what's wrong because a godly conscience abides in my spirit. No longer am I a slave to sin. What took me to that place from being a pervert to being faithful to one woman the moment I got born again? What took me there? What took me there? From here, the biggest pervert in Immokalee, to a place where I held one woman in my arms for 20-something years. What took me there? I tell you what took me there. The power of the Almighty God. My friends, I was born again. Born from above. The life of God dwelt in my spirit. And immediately when I made that decision to follow Christ, immediately, man, immediately a love for my wife came back to me. I loved her. I wanted to work out my marriage because I was born again. I went from being a son of Satan to a son of the Almighty God. I didn't know the Bible. I didn't know nothing about praying in tongues or fasting or worship. I knew nothing. All I knew is that there's this one man named Jesus Christ that shed his blood for me. And if I received his testimony, I would become a son of God. Those words, according to the belief of my heart, brought a power inside of my spirit that enabled me and allowed me, and something in me wanted to do what was right because I became a child of God. A few words that I met with my heart changed my life completely. And it happened to me, my friends. It's happened to you. He said, but God be thanked that you were a servant of sin. You were, Homer. But you have obeyed from your heart a form of teaching that was delivered to you. What teaching? That Jesus Christ was the Son of God. This was delivered to you, being then made free from sin. Being made free from that sin nature, I became a servant of God, a servant of righteousness. The greatest miracle on the face of this earth. Now I read the Gospels now, and they're opening up to me like never before. I'm getting so much revelation right now that I stopped trying to explain it. It's just too much. I got rid of all in my life and strife, and I've never felt this happy in my life. It takes me to a parable where it says that the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a merchant man who was looking for a costly pearl. Or for when he had found a costly pearl of great price, he found what he was looking for. He was a merchant. He was looking for pearls of great price. He was looking for a pearl of great price. And he finally found a pearl of great price, and he found it. Bible says he went and sold all that he had to buy that pearl of great price. So I can just see him going and selling all his possessions because he finally found what he was looking for. He said, I finally found all that I was looking for. So I'm going to go sell everything that I have, and I'm going to come back with a pocket full of money and that pearl of great price. I'm a merchant. This is what I do. I'm going to buy it, and I'm going to take it because I've been looking for this thing forever. And I see this pearl of great price, and I'm going to purchase it. I'm going to sell all my possessions. Meaning, who cares about a pearl, right? It's a parable. Meaning, my friends, the day that I found Jesus, me and you found a pearl of what? Of great price. We found a pearl, man. We've been looking for all our life is this peace and love for people. We found a pearl of great price. The day I got born again, I found this pearl of great price. He's not asking me for my money to buy this pearl of grape. He's just saying, Homer, go yield some fruit, boy. Not 30, not 60, but 100-fold. The day that I found Jesus, I found a pearl of great price. We found a pearl of great price. So the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that sold a seed, a mustard seed. Mustard seed is the smallest seed that there is. I'm paraphrasing. But when it grows up, it sprouts so the birds of the air can come lodge on it. Meaning, the day we got born again, there was a seed. The spore of God was deposited inside of us. It's meant to grow. It's not meant to stay there. The birds of the air that lodged on the mustard seed, on the plant that grew from the mustard seed, he said, so all the birds of the air can come lodge underneath it. Meaning, we get born again. The birds of the air are people, my friends. We get born again. We find that pearl of great price. That seed of God is planted in our hearts, in the soil, in our hearts. We go and we bear fruit so that society can come and partake of what's inside of me and you, which is the kingdom of heaven. I will not be the same. I will not be a regular Christian. I will not. The last few months of my life have been so glorious. A place of compassion for people that I did not know existed. See, I found that pearl of great price, my friends. I found it. So have you. I choose because I want to. I choose to deny myself, to take up my cross, to follow him daily. I said to myself, I'm not going to die of sickness, man. If I die, I'm going to be martyred. I'm going to be raptured. I'm going to go home when I have finished my course. Jesus Christ became a curse for me to free me from the condemnation of this world. Sickness is a condemnation of this world. I refuse to allow Satan to impose his will on me anymore. I refuse it. I refuse it. I'm going to finish my course with one thing in my mind, one thing in my heart, and that's people. That's bringing glory to my King by how I live, not by how I articulate, but how I live. We have found, my friends, a pearl of great price. God, we found it. What are we going to do with it, man? The merchant, man, he sought for it. He sought, he looked everywhere. This pearl must have been special because he went and sold all that he had and he bought it. We know that Christ is special. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is God in the flesh. We found this pearl of great price. We found God Almighty in the flesh through Christ. He lives inside of our being. He's the same way he set me free from sin's dominion. He wanted to heal me that very same day because he's got one place where he wanted me saved from. The same place where he wanted me healed from his human spirit. I used to think, well, we might worship miracles too much around here. Well, you know what? I was wrong because the same place where we want him saved from, the same compassion, the same place in our spirit we want him saved from, it's the same place where miracles are. There's no difference. When Christ wanted one saved, he wanted him healed too. He offered it at the same time. He said, the multitude has been with me for 3 days. They are like sheep having no shepherd. I have compassion on them. He fed them and he healed them with the same word. But he had compassion on the multitude. What was in the multitude? Homosexuals. Fornicators. Alcoholics. The multitude was maybe 14, 15, 20,000 big. There's a lot of variety of people in there. But he had compassion on the sinner. I know what I'll do. I want to be their shepherd so bad. They're lost. Father, they're lost. They're lost, Father. I have compassion on them. I know what this man does. I know what he does. I know what this lady has done. I know what they do, Lord. But the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He wanted so much to be their shepherd. He did all that he could to win that multitude over. All that he could. He did all that he could, Jesus, just to be their shepherd, just to allow them to come into the sheepfold. He did all that he could. He gave them eternal life. He healed them of all their disease. And some of them still rejected the counsel of God. We've gotten so far from the truth in the modern day church. So far from it. And I can say this now because there's not any malice in my heart with saying this. Jesus told the disciples of John, you tell John what things you hear and see. Now we just want people to hear. We don't even talk about people that need miracles in the church anymore. So you tell him. Tell John. Not only did he tell him what his ministry was, but the Bible says in Luke that in that self same hour, he healed many that were possessed with devils and sick. He said, look, boys, the blind see. You tell John, this is what a ministry is about. You tell John that the blind see, the lame, they walk. You tell John that the lepers are cleansed. You tell him that the deaf hear. And also you tell him that the dead are raised. Sounds like the modern day church, doesn't it? And the poor have the gospel preached unto them. The same way that I want you saved. I was at the doctor today. There's people in wheelchairs. I had to stop. I had to put my hand over my mouth because I wanted to cry so much. There were so many people in bondage. They couldn't get out of wheelchairs. And my heart was crying out. There was a compassion. I prayed underneath my breath so I wouldn't be out of order. And I began to pray underneath my breath that the glory of God, the convicting power of God would consume every one of them. And I began to speak God's word over every single person in there. It's what he's looking for, my friends, for us to be so filled with the compassion of heaven. Or all we want to do is see people born again and healed in the self same hour. Having compassion on the multitude outside of this door. We have to have ears to hear. Our heart has to be ready to take this to the next level. Am I there yet? No, but I'm going to get there. Why? Because I found a pearl. I have found a pearl of great price. And this pearl that we found is worth dying for. Literally. It's worth dying for. Even if it means being martyred, beheaded, he's worth dying for. All they wanted from the apostles was their confession. When Bartholomew was filleted alive, all they wanted was his confession. Renounce Christ and you'll live. I will not renounce him. So they filleted him alive. So there's something there that the modern day church doesn't know about, if this man was willing to give his life for the gospel's sake. Paul beheaded, according to historians, beheaded by Nero. All they wanted was his confession, renounce Jesus. Can't do it. If I'm not mistaken, Andrew crucified upside down. All they wanted was his confession. Andrew, renounce him. Renounce him. I love him too much to renounce him. Bible says they were sawn asunder, mocked. All they wanted was their confession. Renounce Christ. They can't do it. Can't do it. So there's a place that we have to conclude that exists. There's a place that exists where every battle that we go through is worth. Every time of emotion is worth it because we're going to one place, and that's that place called done. We have found a pearl of great price. You want proof? Our forefathers were martyred because they also found the pearl of great price. They found it. And they yielded fruit, not 30, not 60, but 100-fold. Their mantle, my friends, was full. They were men just like us. We can develop that same passion. And let me tell you something. I do not desire to be martyred. I'd rather go home 100 other ways and have my head cut off. Trust me. It's not the point that I'm making. I'm just saying there's a point and a passion and a love that lives inside of our spirit where it doesn't matter if we live or die for the cause. It doesn't matter. This pearl we have found, it's a great price. And we will bear fruit if we have ears to hear and eyes to see. 1st the blade. In the ear, than the corn on the ear. Sin has no dominion over me and you. The forces of darkness have no dominion over me and you. Nothing does. Nobody can stop me and you but me and you. No one can stop you, Pablo. No one can stop you but you. No one can stop me but me. In closing, for real, he said, follow me. Jesus said, follow me. Why, Jesus? Follow my lead, boys, and I'll make you a fisher of men. But I decided months ago to follow him, literally, physically and spiritually. And there's a compassion in my heart for people that I didn't know existed. This is what he was talking about. Follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men. Meaning, follow me and I'm going to anoint you, boy. There's going to be a love inside of you where you're going to catch people. If they have ears to hear, you're going to catch them. Not only are you going to catch them and get them saved, but you're going to get them healed. You're going to display the power of the kingdom. There's a lot of Jairuses out there whose 12-year-old daughters have died and been risen up. There's a lot of them people out there that are looking. There's a lot of blind Bartimaeus out there. The two blind men, by the way, that are out there that are waiting. They're saying to themselves, is this the day that someone will lay down their life? Someone will deny themselves. Is this the day that I get mine? That's the pearl that we found, my friends. That's the pearl that we found. The mercy and the compassion of God in the flesh through Christ Jesus. Where else can we go? Where else can we turn to? He's the way, the truth, and the life unto the Father. He healed them all in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He can still heal them all today through me and you. And I got to close it up because I don't feel the anointing leave me already. He wants to use me and you so much. We can develop a heart for people. A heart full of compassion. A heart that judges not, lest we be judged. A heart full of mercy. A meek heart. A heart that hungers and thirsts after righteousness. A heart that when it's persecuted, it's unfazed and does not move. Keeps marching forward. He said, you are the salt of this earth. He said, you are a city that's set on a hill. He said, you are a light that's put on a candlestick. He said, you are the light that shines before men and they glorify me because they see your good work. He said, I'm asking you today, deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow him daily. Our hand has been set on the plow. We cannot afford to look back. Because if we put our hand on the plow and we look back, we're not fit to be disciples. I say, those of us here tonight, we got our hand on the plow and we're not going to look back. Because we have found a pearl of great price. The seed has been sown in our hearts. Let's bear fruit where all the birds of the air can come lodge. Let's bear fruit so that society can come to us and partake of the supper table of the Lord. We want them all to come in. We got to take as many home with us as we possibly can. Not only take them home with us, have them born again, Holy Ghost filled. We want to see every single one of them healed in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Let's fill up our mantle. Let's display the book of Acts all over again, not for our glory, but so that the King, the Lord of Lords, El Shaddai, Mighty God, Jehovah, so that he may be glorified. Amen. Hallelujah. Just bow your heads with me, please. Father, I bless you. I thank you that you've changed our life through the born again experience, Father. You filled us with your Spirit, gave us your word. You've called us righteous, Lord, by your blood. Father, tonight, I believe your Spirit is present, Lord, to seek that which was lost. Father, tonight, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I pray there's anyone here tonight that's looking for that pearl of great price, that wants to experience this conversion from a sinner to Christianity. Good thing about Jesus, my friends, he asks no questions. He doesn't care what you did yesterday. He just wants to cleanse you. Cleanse you with his blood and make you whole. And have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life so the angels of God can throw a party tonight because you're coming home to him. Not physically, but spiritually. So if there's anyone here tonight, that you felt the Holy Ghost tugging on your heart, you felt him touching you, you felt him saying, I want this. You're tired of your life. You're tired of not knowing what tomorrow holds. Well, my friend, you don't have to look for that costly pearl anymore. You don't have to look for it anymore. Tonight it can be found through this man named Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This journey is quite remarkable. It's not called a religion. It's called a family. It's called Christianity. Tonight, God the Father, God wants to be your Father through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So if that's you tonight, you're ready to commit your ways to God. He's calling you tonight, my friend. What you're feeling is a conviction of the Holy Ghost. With every head bowed and every eye closed, please. You heard my testimony, what he's done for me. He's not a respecter of persons. What he did for one, he can do for all. So that's you tonight, my friend. That's you tonight, my friend. He'll take you the way you are. God, he will take you the way you are. He'll love you with an everlasting love that you did not know existed. He will take you just the way you are. Thank you, Lord, for saving me 20 years ago. But that's you tonight, my friends. Just hear this song a little bit. Not anymore, Jesus. Not anymore, Jesus. If not for grace, amazing grace. Hallelujah. How sweet the sound. Listen to the words. I once was lost. Not anymore, Jesus. But now I'm found. Through grace. A hopeless case. Not anymore, Jesus. An empty place. Not anymore, Jesus. If not for grace. I've been born again. A hopeless place. So without further delay. An empty place. If that's you tonight, you just If not, I want to give your life to Jesus Christ tonight.
A hopeless case.
I'm going to ask you.
An empty place. If not,
he wants no explanation. He doesn't need you clean. He doesn't have a legal pad and a pen writing down what you've done wrong. He just wants you to confess him before men. So that's you tonight, my friends, whoever you may be. When I ask you kindly, we're a family here. If that's you tonight, I'm going to ask you just to come stand right in front of me. Just come stand. There'll be no speech required. No explanation. We'll lead you to the same prayer that I prayed 20 years ago. And your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So that's you tonight. I'm just asking you. I know he's tugging. I know he's calling. I know he's convicting. If that's you tonight, just can stand right here. It's that simple. No questions asked. No explanation. Just a simple prayer to welcome you into the family of God. Anybody, anyone. Spot. Wait a few more moments for you. A few more moments. He's tugging. We've all had to make that walk down that aisle. It's a glorious walk. You'll be washed of your sins. A love and a happiness will consume you that you never knew existed. Anyone. Last call. I'll wait. You're worth waiting for. He thinks you're worth waiting for.
If not for grace.
Somebody.
Say that tonight. A hopeless case.
Somebody, kiri kundio.
An empty
place. Isikundore bere kundiato.
If not.
Somebody, kiri kundia. Isikoro kundia. Onde.
Where would I be? You only know. I'm glad you see.
It's about to get it.
Through eyes of love.
Boys.
A hopeless house.
Is this Carl's bunch, Pastor? Is it
if not,
the kids that Carl brings? And one of them.
Well,
boys, men,
that's
what it's about. He's not going to ask you an explanation. He's not going to judge. He's not going to tell you, bring up anything you did in the past. Not the God that I serve. I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you today, a sinner. Father, I believe that you sent Jesus Christ to die for my sin. Jesus, you are the Son of God. Jesus, you are God. I ask you, Lord, I ask you, Lord, to come into my heart, to be my Lord, to be my Savior. Wash me, Lord, of my sin. Jesus, today I boldly, in a heart full of joy, call myself a Christian. God, not only are you God, but you are my Father. You've given me all, and I abound. Thank you, Father, for saving me.